When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center, a place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you. Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit aaccfoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Hopefully, we'll become a part of your life as we grow closer here on the radio. For many of you, we've become friends through the AACC, the American Association of Christian Counselors, live events held across the country, such as Extraordinary Women or Men's Ignite, or maybe we've connected at an AACC World Conference. Regardless, just remember, you can always connect with me anytime at timclinton.com. That's timclinton.com. I think you're going to find some pretty amazing resources available there, too. Also, you can find me up on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Tim Clinton. Dr. Tim Clinton. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about connectivity. We'd love to help build some community with each and every one of you. We post great content each day on Facebook and Instagram. And remember, all of our episodes are available on Salem's One Place. Just go to oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com. You can check out Zach and I as we tackle today's issues. Every weekday, we drop a new episode just like this one. And we promise to introduce you to some amazing guests in that one-on-one setting. And with that, we have a special program. He's a good friend and esteemed colleague here at the AACC, Dr. Mark Mayfield. Mark is an expert on the crisis of loneliness that we've got going on in America right now, especially coming out of COVID. He's going to offer some special perspective and solutions. Mark is a former pastor, award-winning author, speaker, leadership coach, counselor, and professor. He has extensive experience in mental and emotional health consulting with schools and faith-based organizations. He is the founder of No Student Unseen, which helps schools navigate their mental health challenges with a stoplight alert for mental and emotional wellness system. Clinically, Dr. Mayfield is an expert in working with families affected by trauma. He's an assistant professor of clinical mental health counseling at Colorado Christian University and also partners with the AACC as the director of practice and ministry development and editor of the Marriage and Family, a Christian Journal. Mark, as we get started, been a wild run. Everybody knows that over the last couple of years, people are filled with a lot of fear. Stress and anxiety have become household common words among us. People trying to figure out how to navigate all the pressures that have been coming with it. Mark, but one of the things that really has struck me is how disconnected we are in this connected world. Mm-hmm. And this issue of loneliness, an area of expertise for you. But Mark, set us up. I know a lot of people know what it feels like to be lonely, but I don't think people really understand the prevalence.
I mean, definition-wise, loneliness is the state of being unseen or unnoticed mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, right? And it's a lot of times it's developed from a lack of purpose and hope and clarity. And what we find is that those that are walking around in this state of loneliness are hopeless. And it blows my mind just thinking about being the most connected generation in history, and yet we're feeling lonely. And I was talking to somebody the other day about this and just wrestling with this idea that we can be alone or lonely in a room full of people that we know cognitively love us.
We can be very gregarious and outgoing. You can be funny.
Yes.
And very alone.
Yes.
You know, I heard Zach, our co-host, say this, someone who used to have friends. That was the definition of loneliness that really struck him.
Hmm. Someone that used to have friends. Yeah, I think it's when we're looking at the complexities of it, right, this emotional and relational connection only can be developed through proximity. And so when we are in the process of being on our screens all the time, when we're engaged in activities that are kind of singularly driven, we don't get the ability, as you and I are doing right now, looking at each other across the table, eye to eye. We're
right.
Feeling each other's energy in the room.
Sure.
We're making sense of it. One of the things that that struck me is that a lot of times loneliness can be passed on from a parent to a kid in emotional unexpression, meaning I get home from work and I'm anxious because of the days of the work, you know, days of you know, seeing clients, seeing patients. Maybe I got into a traffic jam on the way home and I'm agitated. And I get home and I bring that agitation with me into the house and I don't verbalize why. And then my daughter or my son pick up on that and they begin to create this narrative. Dad's upset. Did I do something wrong? Is it me? Is dad mad at me? And if we don't clear the air, they go on with that narrative that something's wrong with me, and they internalize that narrative. And that is a direct pathway to the beginning of loneliness, in my opinion.
Mark, the statistics around loneliness are pretty staggering, mm-hmm. stunning, really. I saw one survey that said 46 to 61% of those surveyed had moderate to significant levels of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, that's a lot of people.
It is.
You know, to feel like you don't have anybody or there's no place to go to,
right.
or you just feel isolated, alone.
Yeah.
Mark, that's brutal. And when you start looking at the impact of loneliness too, I saw this piece where it can be as harmful to your health as obesity or to even smoking packs of cigarettes.
A pack of cigarette a day is what one researcher said is unmitigated loneliness can be that deteriorative to your health. I call loneliness in my research a disease pathway. It affects the hormonal imbalances, actually with the stress hormone, you know, of cortisol being on that drip. Think about, you know, the the rock and the faucet just dripping on this rock, over time, it's going to wear a hole through that rock, right? And when we have our cortisol and our adrenal glands constantly on alert, our fight, flight, or freeze, we're always searching the room, trying to figure out where what's safe, what's not. It begins to deteriorate our immune system, and it's a disease pathway to being sick and sick longer, and then potentially other effects as well.
Mark, a lot of people have looked at men, especially men who live alone.
Yeah.
Later on in life, they tend to die a lot earlier than those who are married and connected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty shocking too.
Well, it is, because we know physiologically that we are at our best, neurologically, cardiological health, all that kind of stuff is at its best when we're in a safe relationship. Now, it could be a spouse, and that's the way God designed it, you know, in the intensity of that connection. But it could also be in a best friend, a family member. But it's that connection that really brings up the systems in our body towards health.
Mark, let's go to our kids just for a moment.
Sure.
Because you start looking at some of the statistics around children, and it's more than sobering. The CDC reported just back in 2021 that some 57% of our daughters and granddaughters were struggling with feelings of hopelessness or despair, and that 30% of our daughters or granddaughters in 2021 in this country had struggled with thoughts of suicide, taking their own life. Mark, those are kids that are really feeling lost and disconnected.
Well, part of that is that the continual assault on the identity of a woman, what it means to be a woman. And what we find is that when we start redefining things, it creates a gap in the identity development and the identity process, which is a direct pathway to loneliness. If I don't know what it means to be a woman, I can't answer that. I don't have role models in my life. It's going to create despair. It's going to create hopelessness. And I, it's just, and to me, it's an insidious attack on our women. And we need to be speaking up and saying something about it in a way that is honoring to who God has created them to be and help allow them to be that.
What do you think is contributing to the loneliness epidemic with our kids, Mark? Is it the cell phone, the digital devices? Even though we're connected like crazy, it doesn't really connect us emotionally with people.
Right.
Matter of fact, it fuels the opposite almost.
I think it comes back. It's interesting. I think it comes back to identity, hope, and purpose. I think it's these kids don't know who they are. They have so many different messages. So you know him, I know him. Dr. Chap Clark has been a really fun guy to get to know over the years. And he's done some research that in his books, Hurt and Hurt 2.0, this idea that our kids are experiencing varying versions of self. So they have their online self, they've got their Snap self, they've got their TikTok self, they've got their YouTube self, but even in the real life, they've got their self, who they are in front of their mom and dad, maybe who they are in front of their English teacher because they like their English teacher, but they're somebody different in front of their math teacher, there's something different in gym class, and they're trying to carry different versions of self, and there's such an inability to find congruence, now they don't know who they are. This idea of identity in the scriptures means to bond to something. In the Hebrew and the Greek, it means to bond. And if we don't have identity rooted in Christ and that being really encouraged and fostered in the home, it's a direct, I think, link to what we're seeing in the loneliness piece. And then obviously then just the screen time, social media and that kind of stuff just expounds and compounds that to the nth degree because we're not connecting, we're not developing a holistic brain in such a way that we can move from impulse to thought.
Mark, you don't have to go very far in the Bible to realize that God wired us for relationship. Mm-hmm. There's that portion of scripture that says, it's not good that man be alone. I believe God's social in his orientation. I think the Trinity reflects the social nature of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I think the creation of angels reflects the social nature of God. I think the creation of man reflects it. And he puts the same impetus in the heart of man. That's why when he looked, this is before the fall, he looks over all of creation and says, it's not good. Well, creation is good. Then he says this, it's not good that man be alone. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, I've heard a lot of people say, you know what, I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. Nothing could be further from the truth. God wired you for relationships. Mm-hmm. I will make an helpmeet fit for him. Mm-hmm. One who comes alongside an Azar, which is often used of God himself in Scripture, who comes alongside of us. And so, Mark, you know, it's, you look at the significance of relationships, no wonder when you get spun out, when your relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they don't love you, whether it's your spouse or maybe it's a mom or dad, or at least you don't feel that way, mm-hmm. that goes deep into your heart. Mother Teresa is famous for saying, loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. I think she caught it right. Mark, I wanted to just highlight something here for a moment. You're a PhD counselor. You've been doing this for a long time. You've written in this area. As a matter of fact, you have a loneliness workbook that you've produced with the American Association of Christian Counselors. We're going to talk more about that later. But Mark, there's a reason that you stepped in this direction, because as a kid, mm-hmm. I know you and I've talked about this, how you were bullied, but can you take us back and Mark, what it was like for you mm-hmm. as a young man, just the journey of loneliness in your own heart mm-hmm. and why you're such a strong advocate for overcoming this in families and for our kids everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I had the privilege of earlier this month speaking at Ignite Men's Conference that your son Zach puts on, and just a beautiful, beautiful conference, and got to spend time with men, really helping them see and infuse life. You know, I love what Ted Cunningham said, that we are the chief author of our kids' hearts. And it brings it home to this conversation that when I was going through my stuff as a kid, I was a sensitive kid, right? I was a kid that didn't fit the norm. I was good at baseball, so I loved sports, but I loved theater. You know, I was not a stereotypical kid in any way, shape, or form. And what we found was, kids can be cruel, but they glummed on to just making my life miserable. And I remember in that it wasn't that I didn't want to tell somebody. I didn't know how to tell somebody. And it wasn't that my dad didn't care. He didn't know what to look for. And so one of my things and one of my passions is how do I help kids find their voice, and how do I help dads specifically find out and look for the warning signs for their kids, right? And so one of my favorite things to do now is, I mean, I tell the story and how God has helped me overcome, but it was the breakthrough that I was able to have when my dad finally saw me. And it was in counseling after my attempted suicide. We were in counseling together, and he goes, I wish I would have known. So I could have helped. And I'm like, a part of me was going, I wish I had the words to communicate to you what was going on, but I didn't. Mm. And so it was a real healing moment for me and my dad to really step into just his protective mechanism. But it was disorienting, and it was hopeless. And Tim, the only way I can describe the hopeless feeling was it felt like it was I was falling in a deep black hole that had no bottom. And it was just constant blackness, darkness, and constant falling. You know, and those nightmares that wake you up in the middle of the night that kind of jolt you awake, that's what it felt like. And I didn't see the light. And the way I look at it is I was falling into this black hole face first. But it was that realization that my vantage point, and this is why I try to tell people a lot of times, my vantage point and my where I was looking needed to be adjusted. I needed to pick up my head and look that there was actually hope around, and there was light around. There's people that cared. And then I had to believe it.
Mark, you put together a loneliness workbook
Yes.
with the American Association of Christian Counselors. It's a guide to flourish in community, in other words, to be connected. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the protocol strategy there yeah. as we wind up. And I want to make sure people have an opportunity to pick up something like this. This is gold mm-hmm. for people who are struggling.
Yeah, I love the workbook, and I'm very proud of it because it's a step-by-step guide to help people heal some of the past stuff that's going on and the current things and look forward into living a life that is flourishing. It can be done on your own. It's kind of a chapter, step-by-step guide where they can fill out things, do self-reflection. But here's the thing, Tim. This is what I love. They should do it in the context of community with other like-minded individuals at their church or their organization and lead a small group. Go through it yourself together, or by yourself first, and then lead others through it. Because the best place to work through a loneliness workbook is in community, you know? And I think that it inspires and it allows people to go, oh, you're struggling too? It's so refreshing that somebody else understands what I'm going through. And so I'd encourage them to pick it up either at the AACC bookstore, aacc.net in their bookstore, or it'll be on Amazon as well.
Mark, though my mother and father forsake me, the psalmist said, the Lord will deliver me up.
Mm.
Bring it home here. You're never alone. Even though we're disconnected in a very highly connected world,
mm-hmm.
we all know what that means, but you always have an audience of one.
Yeah.
A God who was there for you.
Amen.
And the psalmist had it right. Mark, I know for you that was an anchor that mm-hmm. got you through. Bring us home here, ultimately in that gift.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to bond to something. That's just the way we've been created. We're created to bond to something. Identity means to bond to something. And if we don't bond to Christ, we're going to bond to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so my encouragement for those listening is maybe it feel God is far, far, far away, but he has never left you and nor does he forsake you. He's right there with you. And all it takes sometimes is for us to make up our mind that we're going to lean in. And it might feel clunky. It might feel difficult, but to just be going and just even a simple prayer, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm here. I want to know you. And you make that step towards him, he's going to meet you right where you're at.
Dr. Mark Mayfield, former pastor, award-winning author, speaker, leadership coach, counselor, professor. Mark is just a good friend of the AACC. He's a leader here. That loneliness workbook, again, available through the American Association of Christian Counselors and where else, Mark? And if people want to learn more about you.
Yeah, it'll be on Amazon. You can check me out at drmayfield.com. And find my other books on Amazon as well.
Hey, on behalf of Zach and myself, our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, Mark, we love you. We appreciate your voice for such a time as this. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life-altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a place of hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a great number of people to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.